You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Happiness Patrol, episode number 137. This time we are talking about Flatline.
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 A Quinn Martin production. Flatline.
It does sound like that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does indeed. So will the doctor get three-dimensional? I don't know. Will he stay two-dimensional? I don't know that either. But we're going to find out. You know why, Nancy?
Because the Happiness Patrol starts now?
That is correct. That is correct. Well, hey, everybody. We are all back and well-rested and ready to talk about one of the absolute best episodes this season so far. So I'm thrilled to be here. My name is Lewis B. We have got... Oh, wait. I'm in Orlando, by the way. Orlando. Beautiful Orlando, Florida, where it's nice and sunny and like in the mid-70s today. It is absolutely great. Let me tell you, this is the time to come and visit.
So, you mean chronologically or temperature?
Everything wise.
They're wearing flares.
We're wearing
and platform shoes.
If you go to North Orlando, put some flowers in your hair.
Yeah, you want to do that. And speaking of
that, not flowers. You want to put like Aquanet,
God.
Right?
Really? Yeah, whatever. So, hey, Chaz. Chaz, how's it going?
Hey, it's going pretty good, eh?
Oh, that's good.
Because he's in Canada.
How are things up in the great white north?
It is lovely today. Not quite in the mid-70s, but just a little lower than that. Sunny and beautiful. But I had a friend of mine who lives in Orlando, a mutual friend of mine and Lewis's, who told me that they were at a hockey game last night.
Oh, God.
And drinking beer.
In Canada.
That made them more Canadian than me.
Oh, wow. So, well, there you have it.
In that case, I'm going to put on a toque, smoke some pot, and listen to Rush.
I thought they drank beer. I remember my great white north.
Yeah. Hey, Nancy, how are things in San Fran today?
Oh, pretty nice. Let me see. What is my temperature right now?
I called it San Fran.
No, it's, well, that's okay. Frisco is in Texas.
Don't call it Frisco. Okay, gotcha.
What's wrong with SF? I mean,
I don't
people
know.
Call Los Angeles LA. Nobody thinks about it. What's wrong with
SF? I'm a fan of SF.
That's what we call it.
That sounds
SF, as in Giants, as in going to the World Series.
Oh, yeah, that's what I've heard. So, but anywho.
Yeah, I know. This is not a baseball pun.
God, thank God.
But yes, the weather is mid-60s. It might get up to 70 today, probably.
It might get up to 70. Damn.
This is actually the best time for everybody out there. This is the best time to come to San Francisco.
I think October is the best time to go anywhere because, you know, thank God. It's like the second spring here in Orlando because it doesn't really get cold. So, but this is about it. So, but anyway.
Well, we basically get two summers. We get May and we get October. Everything in between is foggy. So just bring a sweater.
I will. I'll bring a sweater. So anyway, we're going to get right down into it. Flatline. This episode.
Flatline.
This one. I just watched this this morning because I was busy last night. Had a gig. Had to go play my guitar. But I watched it this morning, and man, I was like, well, first of all, when I saw the little preview that they had put out, did you guys watch any of the previews?
No, I didn't.
Did you say completely spoiler-free?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I stayed, yes.
Okay.
Unspoiled.
Yeah. When I saw the TARDIS shrink down to a cookie jar TARDIS size, I was like, hot damn, This is going to be a good one, right? And and we, like we said on last week's episode, that this was written by the same guy.
Yes. And he's my new favorite Doctor Who writer.
He is a good writer. Yes. He's very good.
His new favorite
Doctor. Well, let me tell you, this is Doctor Who the way Doctor Who should be.
Spoiler alert, Lewis liked it.
I liked it, yeah. It brought Doctor Who back to the fun of Doctor Who. Kind of like those episodes in the early New Who era, like Father's Day, that kind of thing. It had a lot to offer. Good monsters, great interaction between the Doctor and companion, and really, really clever and fun supporting actors, you know, in little supporting roles. I dug that a lot. It was really good. And well-paced, and just all in all, I really think this writer is really good. He really is good. And
I need to go back and look at the episodes of Being Human that he wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I love Being Human. And I really, I looked at the list, and I'm not sure which one he wrote, but I need to go back and watch it again.
Yeah, I think so. So anyway, yeah, I liked it. It was really good. From Sledgehammer to the Tudis. I enjoyed
it. The Tudis was hilarious.
The Tudis was quite funny. I can't wait.
This doctor is trying to have a sense of humor.
Well, this is the thing, and without getting into it fully, I will say that I think we just saw the mission. He gave the mission statement. I think we are now fully in the Capaldi doctor. They've been sort of drawing him out slowly, but this episode, there he was.
Yes.
This is what you're going to get. If you don't like this guy, you probably should get off this bus, because this is what's going to...
It took him a few episodes to become fully formed, and I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I've noticed a theme in this, which was a role-playing theme, where the Doctor, you know, there's a role that the Doctor plays, and you see the role of the companion being played, not by the actual companion, but by the Rigsy character. Yes,
and not at all Banksy. Not.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what I thought was interesting? I think this is sort of the third episode of sort of a Clara Grows Up trilogy. You know, where they really explored like how, you know, she is becoming the Doctor to a certain extent. She's taken on a lot of his aspects, and this is the episode where, you know, she has absorbed the Doctor, and she can be the Doctor now.
Well,
yeah, she has snatched the pebble from his hand.
She's learning. You know, she's got her training wheels off now, she's actually trying to do what she thinks the Doctor would do, which is great. We saw Rose do this also. We saw Rose do this very successfully, and that was good. And for Clara to be doing this successfully is really, really cool, too. So
this is what I missed in the early Moffat era, this kind of character development and this kind of, you know, subordinate characters that are fairly well drafted out and acted. I mean, even the police lady who gets absorbed, she has some personality.
They managed to communicate in very few lines. For her, that she was, the whole tension about, and Rigsy sort of emphasized this a bit with his lines about how we were thinking that that nobody cared about these people disappearing.
Right.
And that's speaks to the classism that is invading, you know. Well, I don't want to get too meta about it, but, you know, there is an issue of inequality running throughout the theme here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's one of two themes. There's the role playing, the Doctor coming into his own, the Clara coming into her own, and both of them having to, you know, the Doctor having to depend on Clara being his arms and eyes and ears, that kind of thing. And then also the Doctor seeing himself and Clara, that's the way I seem to be, you know, that kind of thing. And then at the end, the really great speech outside the TARDIS where they're talking you know, I was a good doctor, you know, that thing. It really shows a lot. And also the class structure, too. You see the Doctor come off as a very arrogant kind of, he's almost an elitist, you know, but he doesn't see himself that way. But, and that's what makes an elitist sort of an elitist because they don't really notice that, you know, they're flaunting their knowledge or flaunting their superiority about it. Mm-hmm. It just sort of happens. And you see that in the Doctor here a lot more. Well, I guess you've been seeing it in previous episodes, but it really seems to come off here quite a bit when he's saying, you know, "Hello, barely sentient local." That line I thought was just
right,
amazing.
Yeah.
And look, it's the return of
the fluorescent pudding brain.
Yeah. I was just like, holy crap. And Clara's like, you know, he can hear you. You know, I mean, there's a lot of that going on, and and you see that, you know, from the beginning of him dealing with Danny, you see his elitism going on there, and even in the character the old guy who was just
the crew chief,
Yeah, I don't know who the actor is. I don't care who the actor is. All I know is that character was fucking amazingly done. And he
it was.
And you just hated him from the fucking get-go. You really did.
What a voice that guy.
Oh, yeah. He's amazing.
Well, the fact that you had a character like that is just amazing because they can't all be good.
Yeah. Yeah, you're
right.
The
people who survive can't always be the good ones.
Yep.
And I think that was an interesting bit of color to add to the milieu.
All I know is I was just like so pleased with a character like that because it gave you a dynamic there. It gave you that third dimension. Ha
ha.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is that it also gave that character also gave birth to one of the best lines in the episode, which is "It takes a powerful lack of imagination for psychic paper not to work."
Yeah,
I'm paraphrasing that badly, but you know, which means that they were in essence saying that he was fairly two dimensional. Right.
Oh yeah. See? Yeah. Interesting. That's funny. By the way, I am sad to say that Michelle cannot join us today. If you're missing her voice, she has got some stuff she's got to take care of. We hope that she's doing okay. And we love you, Michelle. We miss you. You know how it is. So Chaz, let's get right into it. Take off, Chaz. Tell me all about it.
Hey, maybe Michelle can be one of the patrollers. Dun dun.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yes, she could.
We'll see.
We really need to do like a patrollers Quinn Martin production kind of, you know. Dun dun. The patrollers. Dun dun.
Yeah, that would be good. So what did you think? Flatliners. Listen to me. Flatliners.
That was another movie.
That's a whole other show.
Yeah, that is a whole other show.
Flatline is, I think the general fan consensus is like, ooh, boy, that's what Doctor Who ought to be like. Yeehaw. And maybe not quite that way. But I think people really liked it. I my sense is that most people really enjoyed it. I certainly really enjoyed it. I do remember one particular moment where the Doctor puts on those crazy steampunk glasses.
That was cool.
Yes, and I was thinking to myself, Nancy just punched the air.
Yes, I did kind of.
Nancy and John.
Uh-huh.
John. They were like, woo, oh, I got to get started on that prop. Gallifrey's not that far away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This was a Dr. Light episode, actually.
Yes, it was. I was wondering if it was officially a Dr. Light episode, but it definitely had that feel.
Yeah, and yet the integration of what they did, because there's a lot of Peter in it, but mostly just his voice, actually. So you don't actually get that third dimension of his visual, you know, aspect all that much. Uh-huh. Ta-ta-ta. Here we go again.
Uh-huh.
It was very, very, very cleverly done. Although I did notice, and you, when you watch the episode again, you'll notice too, because I'm about to tell you, that two totally different haircuts on Capaldi.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
They must have filmed this. They must have filmed his work at two completely different times.
Really?
But when you watch the episode again, take a look at the hair on the man coming out of the TARDIS. Remember when it's the Legopolis TARDIS, as I like to call it.
The Legopolis TARDIS. That's great.
And then at the end of the episode, the man who comes out of the full-size TARDIS, completely different hair.
Well, it must have been the dimensional shift.
It was a dimensional shift. Don't you know anything about dimensional shifts? It plays havoc on your hair.
The other thing is, and I always do this, so I'm going to do it now. but this this episode had references to Full Circle, the East Space story, talking about if the TARDIS were to land with its true weight. The death to the Daleks with the power supply being linked to the dimensional stability of the TARDIS. Of course, as several people have noticed before I did, this is Fear Her done correctly.
That's funny. That's kind of
funny. Actually, you're right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it did also remind me there was there were when the dimensional creatures started becoming 3D, that reminded me a lot of Army of Ghosts. One of the this is, you know, you Lewis has been talking about how difficult Capaldi can be to understand a bit in the sound mix. We definitely had that moment there towards the end when he was sending the dimensional creatures away, where he says, and I had to read the subtitle file to find this out. He said, "I name you the Boneless."
Oh, yeah, we couldn't hear that either.
Yeah, actually, I didn't know what the hell he said. Yeah, I thought he said the Boris, and I was like, Boris? Yeah. As in Boris and Natasha? What the hell's going on here?
They made reference to a shrink ray. What do you mean, shrink ray? That's perhaps a callback to Planet of Fire.
No, 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 that's completely Dr. Shrinker right there. That's what that is. Dr. Shrinker, Dr. Shrinker, he's a madman with a crazy mind.
You are so showing your age. Yes, you're showing your age. Electra Woman and Dinah Girl for the win.
Hell yeah. Well, if this was our Dr. Shrinker episode, I can't wait for the Bugaloos episode. So that'll be so. Oh, which may be next week. Which may be next week.
Before I let it go, one of the things I did like about this was the turning of the Doctor's opinion about Riggsy. That was nice. It was good to see. And as I mentioned earlier, but I'll emphasize it again, this, I think, is where this Doctor has been going all these episodes. And here he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you couldn't have gotten it in a more dramatic scene than that unbuckling of the coat. Mm-hmm. You're the monsters. That's the role you're determined to play. Right. That means I have to play mine. And then he opens the coat.
Yes.
The best Addams Family tribute ever. That's all I'm going to say about it. Nancy can talk about that more if she wants.
Yeah, actually, I got a slightly different take on that.
Okay,
I do adore the Addams Family.
Hey, Nancy A., how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. So why don't you tell us a little bit what you thought?
I loved it. It was great. I mean, this is the stuff I've been waiting for since the Tennant era, since the good part of the Tennant era. Mm. And I think it's kind of interesting that the RTD era started off really strong and kind of went meh. And I'm thinking actually the Moffat era kind of started off meh, and now it's picking up. It's like he's hitting his stride, you know, or maybe he's just letting the really good writers do their thing.
There you
and
go. He's
clearly Moffat's been listening to this podcast and taking notes from
right. But yeah, no, I thought it was well written. I think I said before the characters were really good. The alien was amazing. It's so cool to see this far into the series, you know, 50 years into the series, seeing something we've never seen before. That's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Well, that's a really high concept, high sci-fi concept.
It is. And the special effects, this must have been where most of the special effects budget went this season because, I mean, that was pretty impressive.
They certainly knocked it out of the park.
Melting into the floor, the whole business, I mean, the nervous system on the wall, god damn it, that's like when everyone was a geeky teenager looking in books and seeing, you know, like those early drawings, you know, when they were studying anatomy and, you know, taking apart corpses and, yes, and laying out the nervous system.
The clear pages in the textbooks that are like layered
on
each other.
Yeah, that just creeps you out. And
there were a couple of dodgy. There were when the furniture melted. That was
cool effect.
I thought that was a great special effect, and you know, I loved the swinging ball chair. I would love to have a swinging ball chair. That was so awesome. I thought the special effects worked really well. It was a new alien. It was a new alien for the Doctor, and I liked the fact that he was puzzling out who this alien race was and what their intent was, and he finally figures out, okay, these guys are not just exploring. They're trying to take over.
Yeah.
And he gets all badass, and I love badass Doctor. So that was cool. And the stuff about the TARDIS shrinking, that was another new concept. And actually, my husband noted that this was an episode that could not have happened in the classic era because the special effects would not have been there for them to do a story of this kind of imagination.
They would have done
something. I'm gonna disagree there.
It would, but, just wouldn't have been done as well.
To give you an idea of how bad it would have been.
So this part of the podcast is going to be dedicated to how this particular episode would have been done in the Tom Baker era of special effects.
Yes.
Okay. Go, Chaz.
Well, Chaz.
It's funny you should mention that because, in fact, that's where I'm drawing from. So for the monsters themselves, particularly when they become 3D. If you remember Invasion of Time and the Vardens, probably would have been done something like that, shimmering some aluminum foil against a green screen.
Against a blue screen. A blue screen in the 70s. Yeah. They were blue in the 70s.
It wouldn't have been nearly as cool, though.
And the sofa and whatnot would have been done entirely in traditional stop motion animation.
Yeah, claymation.
Yeah.
Invasion of the Dinosaurs, Pertwee-tah.
Yes.
If they'd had that budget, they probably would have had like plastic furniture. You know, remember the plastic furniture at the time?
Just let the air out of it.
That kind of thing.
What was it? The Auton one when the guy gets absorbed by the chair.
Exactly. That kind of thing.
Would have been like that. They would have been able to do it.
That would have been done in an entirely different way.
It would have been laughable.
You wouldn't have been in awe of it. The special effects were well worth the money and the effort they put into it because it's totally.
Yeah.
And I will say that I actually did hold my breath during that train coming down the tracks on the TARDIS. That was just fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you were saying, the Addams Family thing. You know what I thought it looked like was a hermit crab?
Well, I just love the idea that the Doctor knows about the Addams Family and thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It just warms my heart.
Yeah, that was.
Well, stepping back here and taking a look at this, the TARDIS was up front and personal in this particular episode, which is always a good thing. To me, I love seeing a smaller version of the TARDIS. Like that version of the TARDIS must have been like maybe 5 foot tall. You know, when they first step out
of
it, It's a cat TARDIS.
Well, I called it the Legopolis TARDIS for a reason.
You may
remember block transfer computation and dimensional instabilities. Nothing new in this show.
Yeah, I can't believe they didn't mention block transfer computation. But to see the TARDIS go into what was it called?
Siege mode.
That was interesting. We've never seen that before. For the TARDIS to shrink down like a miniature Pandorica.
It reminded me of the Time Lord alert device.
The little cube thing. Anyway, I think this is going to be great for the Clara cosplayers because you could just like wear her outfit and stick a toy TARDIS in your purse.
Oh, you know that's happening.
So the other thing I thought was really interesting about this is that we were dealing with Clara's lies that would have been kind of like bubbling up in the last couple of episodes. And she finally is like caught in her lie.
Yeah.
But to, you know, she's been lying to these two men. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And at the end, when the doctor says, "You were an exceptional doctor, but you were not good." It was
yeah,
like,
goodness had nothing to
burn.
Do with it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, goodness did have nothing to do with it. I mean, which basically says, you know, here she is talking about her, but, you know, he's talking about himself again. And he does that quite a bit. What was the line? Lying is a vital survival skill.
Oh, right.
You know, and, yeah. And then he goes, and a terrible habit. So,
right. Yeah.
So we see this whole theme again of lying from the doctor and from Clara. So, yeah, it's like I have a feeling that this is going to be a build up to the end of the season, you know, where all the lying will take its toll, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's a big deal there. So, but go ahead, Nancy, what else?
Oh, well, I was also wondering, you know, because I have been trying to remain completely spoiler-free, but from the little teaser for next week, it looks like it's going to be a mostly Danny and Dr. episode. So I'm wondering if this is actually a Dr. Light, I mean, like the way they did it in the Tennant era, where it's like they're double banking. They're shooting two episodes at the same time.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that was in the haircut.
And that's why, yeah, that's why, well, and that's why Danny only appeared a little bit.
Yeah.
But it looks like Danny's going to be in next week's episode a lot, and I'm willing to bet there isn't going to be much Clara in next week's episode.
Well, we saw her running in with the kids in the preview.
Yeah, but I bet you it is going to be mostly Danny.
Huh.
I'm putting my bet down now.
Which is great because it'll be interesting to see. This is sort of like she's cheating on you. Oh, she's cheating on me. Well, let's just go dance together then.
Yeah, exactly.
This is going to, I'm looking forward to this episode because this is where we're going to get the Doctor and Danny relationship ironed out.
Yes.
If we're ever going to, and there's not much season left. We better hurry.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Would this be an episode you would show to a Doctor Who virgin?
This one in particular, or Time Heist, both of those, I think, would be an excellent introduction to the Capaldi Doctor because it's difficult. Only a show that's run this long can get away with making the character so unlikable at first and warming him up. Mm-hmm. This would be the episode, at least of the ones we've seen so far, where I would show them this is what his true character is, and then you can go back and look at, see him a little icier. Mm-hmm. In the earlier episodes. So, yeah, I would definitely show this to a Doctor Who virgin, yeah.
Yeah, well, I have to disagree. I would not do it simply because I would be pausing and answering questions all the time. How can the TARDIS get small? How can he be trapped inside
true.
The TARDIS when she's outside the TARDIS, but he's still the same size, and the TARDIS is all tiny? You know, I just wouldn't want to have
all
to.
All right,
like,
time heist on. For that one. For that.
All right.
But that is a good question.
I was just curious. I was curious because I felt like this would might be a good one.
I think this is Doctor Who firing on all cylinders.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It is great. I think we are in total agreement that we all love this episode.
The epilogue. Just like a Quinn Martin production. Dun, dun, dun.
Act 3. The epilogue.
Flatline. The epilogue.
To me, I think most fans are going to interpret this scene in two different ways. So we get Missy again. Mm. Hello, I remember you. and she directly refers to she directly makes reference to the fact that she is the one responsible for putting Clara in the TARDIS.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we sort of knew this because we already established early on that she was the person in the shop that gave the number that Clara called in Bells of Akaten, and all that. But this is her taking direct responsibility for Clara. And you start to wonder, particularly there are a few scenes where Clara's, where she's having changes of mind and changes of heart in the last couple of episodes. And you're starting to wonder if Clara is more directly controlled by Missy than we realized up to this point. That's what fans are going to argue about that. I, on the other hand, just had a squee moment when I found out that the mistress of the netherworld uses an iPad.
Oh, please. Well, that's
and that's why she's evil.
Yeah. She's a minion of the evil empire.
Yeah, really. Steve Jobs is behind this whole thing. I can tell you right now.
The evil empire that sits right where you live, Nancy.
it's an hour south of me.
Closer to you than me. So, so yeah, that was pretty interesting that we had Missy in the back here, talking about, Clara. But she does it in such a reminiscing sort of way, you know?
Well, and the other thing is that she seems very pleased that Clara is growing to become doctor-like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably part of her.
Can only feed into her evil, the multi-syllable version of evil, plan.
So what's her plan?
Oh, no, I have no idea what her plan is yet.
I thought you'd already worked it out.
Finding it.
We now, this is just a reminder more for people who haven't been paying close attention, that almost every situation in which the Doctor has found himself in this season has been her doing, either directly or indirectly.
So we're heading toward a showdown between the Doctor and Missy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are going to meet.
Oh, and another thing that she figured out, what does the Doctor do? What would the Doctor do? The Doctor uses his enemy's powers against them. I mean, that whole reveal of that being the poster and her little plan and the power going through the wall instead of to the wall was just so nice. And then to see the little siege chart is just sort of like bubble up and then like kind of explode into the TARDIS we know and love, heroically land in the middle of that track, and the Doctor pop out. That was that's some classic Who right there.
It was beautiful.
That was classic Who. So
TARDIS force field plus the sonic screwdriver, unstoppable. Mm-hmm. Oh, plus wildly flaring coat and nostrils.
Oh, yes. And the eyebrows. Can't forget the eyebrows.
So we got the Doctor in full hero mode, and that's great. You know, it's really cool. It's very affirming is what it is as a fan to see the Doctor, quote unquote, back in action. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like that a lot. And I think that's one of the reasons that a lot of people like this. And the other thing is, there's so many times when we're like, all Star Trek Next Generation, where we need to use diplomacy and talk to these aliens because it may just be a misunderstanding. But no, it was a very Kirk moment when he slid out of the TARDIS like that and said, fuck you guys, back to your universe. I call you the dumplings. So send them back to their flat universe.
The boneless.
The boneless, whatever. There's no bones in dumplings. Whatever. Oh, yeah. Who did not love the train driver? Wasn't he great?
Oh, he is good, too.
Small role. Fantastic. Character. I mean, he comes out and he goes, is this official? Because I've always wanted to ram something, with a train. What the hell? Immediately, you sort of like the guy. Immediately. And then, he gets out of the TARDIS and he kisses the ground. And he's like, hell yeah. That was
a beautiful moment because, let's be honest, if you manage to survive a trip with the Doctor, that's what you ought to be doing. Getting out and kissing the ground and going home to your wife and telling her you love her.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That was beautifully done with Rigsy, by the way, who as soon as he stepped out of the TARDIS, he immediately made a phone call, called his mom.
Yeah,
you didn't even need the backstory on that. You just know what's going on there.
Yeah, he was a lovable character. He was a very nice and lovable character.
He was good.
He's sort of like, the misunderstood artist, and the bad guy just sort of represented the man,
Oh, my God.
Keeping the artist down, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The status quo.
Just the way he said, can somebody hire him to just say filth again a few more times?
Yeah.
That was just... Yeah, fifth.
What do we know about that actor? Do we know anything about that actor?
That was Christopher Fairbank, and I mentioned him last week as his sort of a Who connection to Noel Clarke in Auf Wiedersehen, Pet. He's well known for his role as Moxie.
Oh, uh-huh.
in Auf Wiedersehen, Pet. I did not remember, and I found out later, that he was also John Lennon's dad in Lennon Naked, which starred Christopher Eccleston. So there's another Who connection right there.
Oh, that was funny.
He was also in Sapphire Steel, The Professionals. He did voice work in the Wallace and Gromit movies, Flushed Away and Curse of the Were-Rabbit. He's had minor roles in the first Batman movie, The Fifth Element. Uh-huh. He was the prisoner Murphy in Alien 3.
Wow.
And his career spans starts back in 1978 with Zed Cars, just going right on up. If you can think of a British TV series from the 70s and 80s, chances are he's been in it at least one.
It's fair to say that he's a well-seasoned actor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
You don't get to say filth that well just walking on. Just,
yeah.
Years and years and years of playing baddies.
Oh, funny. How funny is that? When you have a character that makes you hate him so much, you know.
So quickly.
That's a sign of a really, really good actor. This whole season has been sprinkled with just amazingly talented guest artists in supporting roles. That's a really cool thing. I like that a lot.
When you've got somebody like Capaldi, an old hand like Capaldi,
uh-huh,
running the place, then you've got to bring in seasoned, experienced actors, not necessarily old, but just really experienced actors who can stand up to it. That's mm-hmm. not, that's a, Capaldi's a force. You don't, you know, some people will just wither on the vine next to.
That's true.
So next week, we have a brand new episode. We're going to be back here to talk about In the Forest of the Night. Is that the correct name?
That is correct.
Yes,
that
okay.
That sounds spooky.
And it looks like we're going to have a bit
It's written
more.
By a guy named Frank Cottrell Boyce, who's best known, I think, at least these days, for having written the opening ceremony of the 2012 Summer Olympics that were held in London.
Oh, interesting.
That's crazy.
He is a children's book writer.
That's why it looked
very interesting.
That's why in the preview it seemed very Red mm-hmm. Riding Hood.
All the people who hate the kid actors in Doctor Who, oh, you may want to skip next week.
So this looks like we're going to see Courtney back in the TARDIS again. That'll be great.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping she'd come back.
Which means things are going to be spiced up a bit, so, and that'll be nice.
Yeah,
Annie plus
nice.
Courtney's going to be really interesting.
Oh, yeah, that will
be.
Yeah,
well, they have some history because, you know, he's their teacher.
Yeah, that's going to be odd.
Courtney is now under the impression that most, if not all, of the teachers at Coal Hill School have secret lives. And she's right.
She's right.
Because, I mean, at least two teachers are going off in outer space. And don't forget, there's the headmaster still yet to come.
Oh, yeah. That would be kind of cool.
That would be very cool if it happens. We hope to see it happen. I don't know. We'll see.
That would be pretty awesome. Yeah.
But
I called him the headmaster. He's actually the governor, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, but this will be the first time, actually, the first time that Danny takes an adventure with the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, full blown, yeah. Leaving Earth.
Yeah. In the TARDIS.
Forward to this.
Yeah, it should be pretty interesting. I can't wait to see how it unfolds, but it looks neat. It looks like it might be fun. So,
I'm one of these people who always looks forward to it because even if I just saw a lousy episode, I'm like, it'll be brilliant this time. Because I live in hope, but I understand what he's talking about. It's a very exciting season, and I have to doff my cap to Stephen Moffat a little bit for reinventing himself quite a little bit over the last, you know, he was in a groove. It was a good groove. He worked it, and now he's moved on to another groove, and that's cool too.
I prefer this groove.
Yeah, that's fine too. But this is what I love about Doctor Who is, wait long enough and you'll get a completely different show.
Well, it looks like it's time to say goodbye for now. We here inside the big pink TARDIS wish you a fond adieu until next week. We gotta go. Chaz, I'm sure you got things to do like waking up.
I gotta start packing for convention season.
I know.
Yes, you do.
It's like duck season, wabbit season. Wabbit
it's
season.
Like duck season and wabbit season all rolled into one. And Nancy, I'm sure you got some stuff. You got bowling on the pot, huh?
Well, yeah, I got some ukulele things I got to do.
Some ukulele, the ukulele queen. Can we refer to you now as the ukulele queen?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's Halloween, so, you know, or as we like to call it here in San Francisco, Hallowmas.
Hallowmas, God.
Yeah. Whatever. It's like Christmas for people who like Halloween. Anyway, we're working on some Halloween songs for the ukulele group.
Oh, fine. That's fun.
I'm trying to do Dead Man's Party because I think that's perfect.
Wow. On ukulele? That would be awesome.
See, I thought you'd like that.
Yes. I'm a big Oingo Boingo fan.
Actually, I just turned my son into a big Oingo Boingo fan.
Ah.
Yeah.
You are a good mother.
Yes, thank you.
And if you'd like to hear more things that are sort of associated with Doctor Who, tune into our Blogspot, The Happiness Patrol. We do have a Blogspot where all of our episodes live in digital form. As well, I guess that they always have. But anyway, you can go to our Blogspot. Nancy, tell them where the Blogspot's located.
thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com.
You can also email us at the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter, right, Nancy?
Yes, we are at the H Patrol
on Twitter. So, so that's good.
And we waste way too much time on the Book of Face.
On the Book of Face. We're always on the Book of Face, always looking around. Go leave us some messages like Mark did just recently. He wrote in and said, are there going to be Bahama Mamas at L.I. Who? And I was like,
I don't know.
No. They're not going to be Bahama Mamas. Like,
we'll see what we can do on the Mai Tai front.
yeah, we'll see what we can do on the Mai Tai front. So stay tuned, guys. We will be back next week. So make sure you stay here. And Michelle, get better, get well. Make sure you're back next week because we're going to have a lot to talk about, Michelle. We are going to have a lot to talk about. And we will also have a lot more on the upcoming conventions that we are going to be at. Chaz and I are going to be at Hurricane Who over the first weekend of November. Just getting over the hangover that is called Halloween. And then
speaking of tropical drinks, holy cow.
Yeah, and then in the very next week, we're going to be up in Long Island, all four of us. So if you're at the L.I. Who convention, you can come by and say hey, or you can catch us on stage live that Friday night at the convention. Where we will be
with Trout and Companions.
It's a Trout and Companions expose. It'll be fun. You'll get to hear all of our stupid questions to all of those fabulous people, and it should be at least very entertaining. So, so until
first, we have to introduce Lewis to these people and tell them who they are.
And tell them what to expect. So,
yeah.
But anywho, on that note, I am Lewis B.
I'm Nancy A.
Oh, sorry, I stopped listening a while ago.
yeah, that's it. All right, we'll see you guys later. Bye.
And I'm Tessa.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Happiness Patrol.
Finally, it's my chance. Hello, welcome to Chaz's podcast. We'll just talk about my view on the episodes. I just have these other people here with me to say things like, and, and that's very interesting.
Or something to get the Babel fish 12, in your ear.
12 steps of Babel fish.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, I need to find that and send
hello,
you a link.
Hello, I'm the Babel Fish, and I have a problem. Hello, Babel Fish.
You know, I don't have that kind of fucking attention span. Come on.
I mean, sure, she loves the whole let's dress up and pretend we're pirates. Who doesn't? But
and then I'll have, you know, a perfect, you know, nice rear end again. A nice rear end. So,
like J-Lo.
Like J-Lo. I'll have a J-Lo rear end. It'll be great. But it's
your milkshake will once again bring the boys to the yard.
Well, that'll be nice. I've been wondering what's been going on in my yard. It's been so empty.
In San Francisco, it's absolutely a legitimate excuse. Here, it's a legitimate excuse. Florida? That just makes you look like you're an alcoholic.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
So while I wait, I'll tell you a little joke. Maybe this will be recorded. This will be fun. So I have this friend who occasionally has trouble sleeping, particularly when there are gentlemen callers over. And so she's gotten in the habit of occasionally taking NyQuil to help her go to sleep. I did not know this was a thing. But apparently, lots of people do this because it, as we all know, it knocks your ass out. So, it turns out the NyQuil people knew about it. And so, consequently, they developed, they were concerned about it, that people might develop an addiction. So, they developed a separate product called Z-Quil, as in Z, you know, Z-Z-Z-Z, Quil. And that's apparently just NyQuil without the nighttime cold medicine and just the drowsiness stuff. So perfect marketing, right? You'd think my friend would be all over this. But in fact, she tried it and she said that it was not as effective as NyQuil. And I said, well, of course not. The Z-Quil is never as good as the original.
My thing about this this whole... shit, I think I forgot my point. Hang on. You started talking about trains and it took me off the bit.
It derailed you.
It derailed me. Thank you.
Your train of thought. Oh, dear.
What the hell was that?
I found this
like?
Episode a bit two-dimensional myself.
Maybe it won't. You never listen to the podcast. Trying to get somebody to say Courtney because I couldn't remember her fucking name.
I did say Courtney. I said Courtney.
Let's try it again.